in answer to the Lord's call to discipleship, Mary, the mother-to-be, said, "I am the servant of the Lord." And today each one of us echoes in our own life the same response of that valiant woman. There's an element there that is reflected whenever a young man falls in love with a young woman. And so often the young man will exaggerate his love and tell her, "I would climb the highest mountain for you and swim the deepest river. I would even die for you." And yet everyone knows that what he is doing is using a figure of speech. He does not mean anything of the kind. In 9 cases out of 10, at the very first sign of suffering, that young man will disappear in a cloud of dust. And we could ignore all of this today, except for the troubling fact that this entire concept of suffering love, which does indeed appear in romantic love today and every day, suffering love is also built into the very heart of Scripture, and it is also built into the very heart of our own Christian life. It means that if we really would love another person, we really would be willing to suffer for her or with him. And it also means, as with Mary, the Christian will always accept this voluntarily, because it is at the very core, the very heart of what it means to belong to God and to his Christ. Now this, of course, is where so many of us begin to drop out. I know it's one thing for you to come to church and receive inspiration and talk about belonging to Christ. But then when we get down to the hard facts, it does seem that many of us simply are not ready. It's something like the college football game that turned out to be a terrible mismatch in experience, in weight, in coaching. The weaker team was being taken terribly, both on the scoreboard and also beaten terribly with their bodies. And so in their huddle at the final period, the quarterback noticed that they had 12 men out on the field rather than the 11, and he recognized this could be another humiliating penalty. And so in the huddle, the quarterback told the teammates, he said, "What we're going to do is try a running play past the bench, and somehow in the confusion, I want one of you to avoid a penalty by dropping out." And they succeeded very well in the play, right past the bench, as instructed. And then back in the huddle, the quarterback discovered, to his amazement, that 6 men had dropped out. It happens to all of us whenever we are knocked around in life, bruised and bloodied. Whenever we have a chance to drop out, we drop out. And that's healthy. All psychologists will tell you that. A healthy person will never enjoy any kind of suffering. He'll want to get out of it, resolve it, try to move the situation on to some kind of healing. And that is exactly why it is so difficult for any of us to identify with that entire biblical theme of Scripture, Christianity, of voluntarily accepting the bruises of life, the bruises. And that's why we can be very attracted to the child, the baby in the crib at Christmas time, and not recognize that the crib and the cross go together. that when we see that the child does grow up and become old as we are, that Jesus volunteered, accepted humiliation and suffering and death on our behalf, we discover that if we're going to follow him in discipleship, there's simply no hiding place, no escape hatch, if we are authentic disciples. Now, what does it mean when we say that Jesus suffered and died for us? If any one of us had to explain that to someone, what would we say? We know that there's a great deal of theology written about this mystery. And yet, we also know how confusing it can become. It's like the story of the old missionary out in the mission field who needed an assistant. They sent him a young scholar with a PhD in theology. When he arrived, the young man had to speak to the natives through the old man as the interpreter, because the young man did not yet know the language of the natives. And so in his very first talk to these simple but marvelous people, the young missionary delved deeply into his theology and learning and said in his first sermon to them, "All truth is absolute and relative. The gospel is absolute truth, but its application is relative to our immediate needs." Now, when the old missionary sitting in the congregation heard this, a frown came over his face. And then he rose to interpret, and he said to the people, "He says he's glad to be here." Now, that's what happens to us when we read some of the theologies of suffering and crucifixion. We frown a lot. We're glad that it happened, that Jesus did this for us, but we don't understand really until we realize that in the suffering and death of Jesus Christ, we have God's expression of his love for us. That's all. Everything that you say about the cross must build on that simple statement. Now, there's a beautiful symbol of this kind of voluntary suffering on another's behalf. It's a true story taken from the time of Oliver Cromwell in England. There was a young soldier who had been tried in military court. He was sentenced to death, and he was to be shot at the sound of the ringing of the curfew bell. Now, the girl that he planned to marry climbed up into the bell tower several hours before curfew time, and she tied herself to the bell's huge clapper. And at curfew time, when only quiet, muted sounds came out of the tower, Cromwell demanded to know why the bell was not ringing curfew. And the soldiers were sent up to investigate, and they found this poor young woman cut, bleeding, from being knocked back and forth against that great bell. And so they brought her down, and Cromwell was so impressed with her willingness to suffer for her young man that he simply dismissed the soldiers and said, "Curfew shall not ring tonight, and the young man is free." That's exactly what it means to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You tie yourself voluntarily to the bell clapper and you allow yourself to be knocked back and forth. It doesn't mean that you do it every day. Before long, there wouldn't be anything left of you. But it does mean that there are situations in our lives when the time is right to to give ourselves for others in this way. Now, being the disciples of Jesus means that we voluntarily accept the cost of discipleship, as well as the benefits. We need to remember how often Jesus would turn people away who were not willing to pay the price of discipleship. They came to him because they only wanted the benefits. They wanted the healing, the comfort of discipleship. But when it came time to pay the cost, they made excuses. And then Jesus said, "No, you're not ready." He didn't say, "Go away and think about it. We'll come back and talk it later on." No, he simply said, "This is not for you." Now, none of us here tonight is forced ever to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Each of us, all through our life, has been free to accept or to reject the call. Now, if we accept it, the cost is giving ourselves to others and doing for others, family and friends and strangers alike. Even when it hurts, we need not be grim about it. We need not develop a martyr complex. The good thing about it is that the life of authentic discipleship is the most fulfilling life possible, because it does make life worthwhile. And if many of us do not yet experience that kind of life, it's only because we've come only halfway. Willing to accept the benefits of discipleship, but not the cost. We haven't tied ourselves yet to the bell clapper. It's what that young mother-to-be Mary did. That's what she meant when she said to the messenger, "I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say." There's nothing sentimental about that. Tonight we say, "Lord, we are your servants also. Now let it be done to us as you say."
I invite all of you to sing "Earthen Vessels."